Yeah, or please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one must perform sacrifices, offering oblations to the fire, according to the directions of the Shastras. In this way one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If a grihastha or householder is sufficiently educated in Vedic knowledge and has become sufficiently rich to offer worship to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he must perform yagyas as directed by the authorized scriptures. Bhagavad Gita 3.9 clearly says, yagyatat kanamanun yatra lokoyam karmabandana. Everyone may be engaged in his occupational duties, but the result of these duties should be offered for sacrifice to satisfy the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to possess transcendental knowledge as well as the money with which to perform sacrifices, one must do it according to the directions given in the Shastras. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kritayat Yayato Vishnum Tritayam Yajato Makai Dvapare Paricharyavam Kalot Dari Kirtanat. The entire Vedic civilization aims at satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was possible in Satya Yuga by meditation upon the Supreme Lord within the core of one's heart, and in Treta Yuga by the performance of costly yagyas. The same goal could be achieved in Dwapara Yuga by worship of the Lord in the temple. And in this age of Kali, one can achieve the same goal by performing Sankirtan Yagya. Therefore, one who is educated and who is wealthy must use them to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by helping the Sankirtan movement that has already begun, the Hare Krishna movement or Krishna consciousness movement. All educated and wealthy persons must join this movement, since money and education are meant for service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If money and education are not engaged in the service of the Lord, these valuable assets must be engaged in the service of Maya. The education of so-called scientists, philosophers, and poets is now engaged in the service of Maya, and the wealth of the rich is also engaged in Maya's service. The service of Maya, however, creates a chaotic condition in the world. Therefore, the wealthy men and the educated men should sacrifice their knowledge and opulence by dedicating them for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord in joining the Sankirtan movement. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatadine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. In this verse we hear, for yet another time, it may have been many times where we have heard it, that we should use our intelligence and our property, our assets, in the service of Sri Krishna. Now, to do this, to use one's full, let me explain, un momento. But we hear from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that there are actually four things which we should engage in Krishna service. Not only wealth and intelligence, it's prana, the life force, our youthful energy, vacha, our words, dhya, our intelligence, and dana, that's our wealth. Most of us don't really have much wealth. These four things are to be engaged in Krishna's service if we want to become successful in our lives. Prana, dhya, vacha, and dana. Life, intelligence, words, and wealth are the four things which a conditioned soul can engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Now, in order to do so, it is very important that a devotee has faith in Krishna. If one has no faith in Krishna, one will not give his life to Krishna. One will also not give his intelligence to Krishna. If I don't have faith that by rising up early in the morning, I can please Krishna, I won't do it. This is simply not done without faith. So this very basic faith is what is, let me say, at the root cause, at the root of all one's activities. You can see what type of faith someone has by what type of activities he performs. A materialist, for instance, is working now very hard. See, hear this noise. There, we are here at the pulse, so to say, of Heidelberg. All go in the town because there is some amount of faith that if I do my work and earn the novats, the money, then my life will be somehow lived in a certain way. So also in the beginning of devotional service, there is shraddha, there's faith. And this shraddha is not only there when we start Krishna consciousness, it is continuing on through the different stages of our advancement in Krishna consciousness. Shraddha must always be there, even in anatta nivritti, freedom from unwanted things. Still must be shraddha. Shraddha is always there. It is never like a stepnitsa, staircase. When you leave the one step, go to the higher, you have left the one step. But in Krishna consciousness, you always have to take your shraddha with you, wherever you are. When the shraddha is leaving you, the faith is leaving you, then it is becoming a problematic situation in the life. Now, you will be very glad to hear that shraddha only has substance if there is enthusiasm. Faith without enthusiasm is meaningless. For instance, we can watch the Christian faith. They do have faith that God is existing. They really have faith. There are even six proofs in the philosophy of Christianity why God is there. They really believe it. But the enthusiasm is not always there. Therefore, their faith doesn't really bring them to the stage of practicing Krishna consciousness, Christian consciousness, Christianity, with a substance. Enthusiasm is the life really of faith. Just like the soul gives life to the body, enthusiasm gives life to one's practice in Krishna consciousness. Without enthusiasm, one cannot overcome one's weaknesses, the ten offenses. Enthusiasm is necessary to fight in the life. Sometimes it's a fight, a struggle, struggling to reach the spiritual platform. Let us today speak the glories of Utsaha. Utsaha means enthusiasm. Let us study today what kills enthusiasm. Let us study what is enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. And let us also study how to develop enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. The enthusiasm, we hear that the enthusiasm is the natural position of the soul, because the soul's natural position is one of an eternal servant of Krishna. Just like the senses are naturally attracted to their sense objects, the soul is naturally attracted to the Lord whose name is Krishna, the one who draws, who is, yesterday one devotee says, when I think of Krishna, I think of the one who is all attractive. This is one of Krishna's qualities. Krishna, he drags. The Aristotle's Greek philosopher said that the whole creation is moving towards perfection, being drawn by the Lord, just like a piece of iron which is drawn by a magnet. Now you might think of the whole creation is dragged towards dissolution. How can we say it towards perfection? I think what Aristotle has meant is that there's a natural feeling in all life forms that one wants to survive, you know, wants to live. A very basic feeling of existence which fights the dissolution or so on. The natural feeling is in all of us that we want to be happy, that we want to live a life, that we want to have knowledge. In this way, we are leaving our trying in our lives to reach some sort of perfection. So, it's a natural quality of the soul to try to reach out for the eternal spiritual sky full of freedom and full of bliss and full of love. That's in every soul. Now, as soon that we go into the material world and we get covered over, this natural hankering or yearning or searching is diverted to other things. That is a problem of our existence. We are spiritual souls who want to go back home, back to Godhead, who want to reach out for the Lord's mercy. But unfortunately, due to the covering influence of Maya, our natural enthusiasm, you could say, our natural longing, our natural endeavors are all misused for the material platform. And in such a state, we develop a sickening, eine krankmachende Gleichgültigkeit, a sickening indifference, is the English word, towards those very practices which can bring us to Krishna. Living entity, in other words, is very indifferent towards spiritual things. And such a level, if you chant the holy name, your umski goes everywhere, it's not at the holy name. When you hear of the rules of sadhana, to rise early, to come to the Mangal Arati, your mind protests, this is too much for me, I don't want this. When you hear of festivals where the holy name is chanted, you think, oh, noise. At least I would prefer 108, but this noise is just totally intolerable. When you hear of the regulative principles, you think, well, let us see how far we will get with this as a movement. In other words, that natural enthusiasm, which is a property of the soul, eine Eigenschaft der Seele, becomes covered over so that you become indifferent, gleichgültig, towards spiritual processes. You become negligent, nachlässig, in following your initiation vows and practices. If this indifference is not given up, no advancement can be made. Absolutely no advancement. So, in the scriptures, we hear that following these rules of which will make us enthusiastic it's described. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from the material contact. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. Do you understand? With determination and faith, one should follow the process of yoga, which helps us to break through this dangerous wall of indifference which is between us and the Lord. You must follow the practices of yoga with determination and faith. This will make us free. Sometimes devotees think, oh, I'm a slave of rules. I'm a slave of a routine. But they don't understand that in the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness, one has to follow the rules and regulations of sadhana in order to leave this dangerous mode of ignorance which makes us indifferent towards the very processes which can give us liberation from material existence. The first point. Now, but there is another reason why one becomes indifferent, gleichgültig, or why one develops apathy. Apathy is in Deutsch so eine, ja, man fühlt sich apathisch. Das heißt so. Wie sagt man apathisch? Eine Lethargie, ja, so eine Unwissenheitskraft ist da drin. Yes. So it is said by Srila Baladev Vidyabhushana, Admanya yogyat vamananam nirvedas tat rahitena chetasa. One becomes indifferent to whatever work he feels unqualified for. See, if I lose my faith that I can go back home, back to Godhead, then I just feel unqualified. Oh, I'm very dean. I'm very fallen. How, and I begin to lament, how will I ever reach the spiritual world? There's no hope for me. Do you know this state? Sometimes you feel like this? I sometimes feel like this. Maybe I'm the only one. You feel, oh, no hope. Better go back to sleep. That's a natural human reaction if one thinks one cannot obtain a goal. One becomes hopeless at this stage. Isn't it, charlatan? Mm-hmm. It's a very natural thing. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we have to address this point also. I will do this a little later. First of all, you will be extremely surprised. This indifference towards spiritual life and spiritual practices, it is something which is which comes from jnana, from knowledge. A person who knows that the material world is useless, who has understood it, develops indifference towards it. Isn't it? If you understand this material life is nothing, you become totally indifferent. Why should I endeavor for anything? I remember this when I was about 14 years old. This type of spiritual knowledge came into my life. I was thinking, what is the use of material life if I have to die? I was struck with this realization. If I run for material success the whole life, and I lose everything I'm working for, then why am I doing anything at all? I remember I had a crisis. I couldn't go to school any longer. Why am I learning if everything which I learn I will just lose? And I decided to become a yogi. Yes, I thought, let me go to the Himalaya mountains, sit in a cave, grow a beard, and just leave this stinky world behind, this useless world. This is indifference. Sometimes devotees might feel indifferent towards life because they think, what is the use of anything? Now the jnani thinks like this because he does not know anything about spiritual life and spiritual activities. He does not believe that the soul is eternal, that Krishna is eternal, that the process of devotion and service is eternal. He thinks that after this material existence, I will just merge and stop to be. I will stop to act. I will stop to think of accumulating knowledge and so on. So a devotee should become not like this. He should not think everything is meaningless, everything is shunya, it's void. He should understand what is the meaning of spiritual activities. He should understand what is the meaning of attaining the Lord's pleasure by serving Him, and then become fixed in that concept. A jnani has no knowledge about the spiritual variety. For him, after this world or beyond this world, there is the undifferentiated Brahman, and therefore he cannot know about devotional service and about devotion and about Krishna. So he's indifferent. Now the kami is a very interesting analysis. The one who is caught in the paradigm of karma, that is, he works very hard to fulfill his lusty desires. He is also becomes also indifferent when he is confronted with Krishna consciousness, because there's nothing to get. In the temple, for the kami, there is nothing what he can see. You know, the people often ask us, "Why are you working for? What is it?" Tell us. You know, I can't see anything. Isn't it? I remember when our Bhakta Bhuk gave up his tennis career, then for spiritual life, then the question was by many, but what are you getting? I can't see anything. You're even practicing, I don't know if they said it, but you are even practicing celibacy. Not even the pleasures of the opposite sex association is available. For the kami, spiritual life is not existent. There's nothing there. And therefore, he naturally becomes indifferent. So, when we come to spiritual life, these two inclinations, jnana and karma, are still with us. We want to just have our peace and just, you know, just, and therefore become indifferent to all activities, or that we want to enjoy. And when we see it's not possible in Krishna consciousness, we become indifferent. Sometimes I've seen devotees who they said, but after 2 years I did not yet enjoy. Let me go. The point is not to enjoy in Krishna consciousness. It might sound foolish, but the point is to be an instrument for Krishna's enjoyment. And then you are on a platform beyond this, let me say, material conceptions of enjoyment. You are in something which you cannot conceive in spiritual life. So, in bhakti, therefore, a devotee should be neither very disgusted with the material life. You know, sometimes we ask devotees, why did you join? And they say, the material world was so problematic for me. They're very disgusted with the material life. But that can't be the motivation for Krishna consciousness. You should not be very disgusted with material life and not be very attached to material life. In the middle. Once there was this brahmachari who fasted from everything except milk. And he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtans after having heard about the ecstasy of the kirtans. And this brahmachari was very renounced. He thought, because I'm so renounced and only drink a little milk, only therefore, you know, for this reason I should be allowed in the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Made yutam. But Lord Chaitanya did not allow him in. Because a devotee, if he's just so renounced, he has no idea of what is spiritual life. If he just is renounced from the material world, he is not qualified to enter into the devotional service. The qualification of to enter into a devotional service is faith. And this faith is that just by engaging myself in Krishna's service, I will become, I will solve all my problems. No, I shouldn't formulate it like this, but this is my natural position in life, just by engaging in Krishna service. So, what to do to develop the beautiful queen of enthusiasm in our heart? It is said that we should first of all constantly start to worship Krishna through loving devotional service. Krishna says, when an intelligent person engages constantly in worshipping me through loving devotional service as described by me, his heart becomes firmly situated in me. Thus, all material desires within the heart are destroyed. See, as long as your heart is in the soup of Maya, boiling in the material atmosphere, you cannot develop enthusiasm. You must take your heart and, you know, take that heart and give it boom, 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 into the ocean of devotional service. Then that heart can feel the pleasures of Krishna consciousness. Another thing is that faith and enthusiasm is born when one has contact with sadhus and learns from the sadhus how to apply the knowledge of devotional service to one's life. In the beginning, in Krishna consciousness, there will be something like enthusiasm. It's called utsaha mayi. The beginner's enthusiasm, because it's so new. Some of us, I was also belonging to this category, they always did something for 2 years or 3 years and then shrugged it, gave it up. I remember I had the musical, in my musical tastes, I would listen to a certain style of music for a few years and then give it up. I would have friends for a few years and then give them up. I was always trying something new. Oh, this was not quite right. This was not quite. I don't know if you also know about this. So when they come to devotional service, they are enthusiastic in the beginning, but after 2 or 3 years, this is usually the statistical number, they become, want to change something. This is very typical for someone who is on the unsteady platform of spiritual life. It's called anishta. Anishtika bhakti means you're enthusiastic like this, but because you have not yet reached the state of Krishna consciousness, the enthusiasm leaves you. Next is ganatarala, sporadic endeavor. One just tries for a very short time. Vyuda vikalpa, one is not really decided what to do in one's life. Vishaya sangara, one struggles with the senses. Oh, niyamakshama, inability to uphold vows, one even has difficulties to chant the 16 rounds. And then tarangarangini, one enjoys the facilities offered by bhakti. Like, I always get strawberries if I want. This is not very good. Should not exploit the world for our satisfaction. It's not good. See, this is unsteady devotional service. But if you continue being determined that you can engage in Krishna, that by just keeping the right association and by doing, putting your heart in service, merging it in service, then you can overcome this unsteady platform of devotional service and come to the steady process of devotional service. Shri Krishna addresses this point. Yato shrado mat kathasu nirvina sarvakadamasu veda dukat makam kamang parit yage pyanishvara. Having awakened faith in the narration of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. You might say, why should one become happy if one is in this dilemma that one understands one shouldn't be in Maya, but one is in Maya? Why be happy, Gaurangi? This is the question which is raised. Krishna continues, even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. And then, because he continues, this is now the important point, if you have not been able to grasp the meaning of this verse, please listen to this remaining portion. Because he has faith that the narrations of Krishna will bring out the dirt within the heart, after some time that Maya will be taken out by Krishna. Yesterday, you remember, we said how Krishna entered the heart of the devotee and he takes away the ignorance. When Krishna comes in the heart, he takes also his lotus tapala, his lotus toe, palitza, his lotus palitza, and he puts it into this, what is in our heart, this constant coming up of desires. Do you know of this spring in the heart, Gaurangi? The brrr, sprudel, 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 sprudel. Krishna comes with his lotus palitza. Palitza, isn't it? Palats, yes. His lotus palats. His lotus toe. And puts the palats in the hole so that this problem is stopped. Just by hearing about Krishna. So if you want to become enthusiastic and be released from the half-death syndrome, don't worry because you're sometimes still attached to Maya. Don't worry that there's still some covering of illusion. Just engage your mind in hearing about Krishna's wonderful life, his philosophy which describes him, and you will certainly become so enthusiastic. It will be possible, this enthusiasm can become so great in Krishna consciousness that a devotee has even no time to die. Just too enthusiastic. This continues on. A devotee should not become discouraged in his life. There's always something which you can do for Krishna. There's always something you can, how do you say, you can learn more about Krishna. There's always a way out of the miserable existence of material life, provided you take to the right means. Devotee should never become discouraged. You should always try to concentrate about those activities in devotional service which you can actually do. There will always be something. Krishna will always give you something. And if you take this, accept that as that which is given to you, then you will be able to break through this very difficult and dangerous wall of indifference to Krishna consciousness. Gleichgültigkeit. You will be amazed to hear that the 10 offenses which prevent us from really hearing the holy name all come from this indifference. Indifference can be also overcome by hearing about the great souls You remember when Haridas Thakur was beaten over the marketplaces, he was continuing to chant the holy name. He said, Kanda Kanda Hoy Deva Jaya Yodi Pran Tabu Ami Varane Na Chadi Harinam. Even if my body is cut into pieces and I lose my life, I will never give up chanting the Lord's holy name. O Krishna, please be merciful upon these poor souls. Kindly excuse them for the offense of torturing me. If you hear such a determination, you also become very enthusiastic. You can also think, Gaurangi, that you will have to die and use the time which is still at your command in a very good way. I was once in my own life, I came from a hospital, and I was laying in the hospital, I think, for 1.5 months, just under morphium, because I'm so sensitive to pain. That's why I never go to the dentist also. And I remember I was coming from it. And then Kashi Ash, at that time Kashi Ash took care of me. He drove me to the farm, and you know, whenever a little bump was there, my belly, you know, which was just sewn together, was so paining. And I was thinking, And at that time, it was not possible for me to think of devotional service. All I could do for 1.5 months is, I went to the Yamuna and got water for the Abhishek of the deities. You know, only in the mind I could offer some service. And I remembered how much I desired to be healthy and do proper devotional service. You don't know, you know, wir haben's zu gut, sagt man sehr in Deutsch. It's too easy sometimes. Therefore we develop this indifference. When you are surrounded with comforts, it's very difficult to be really enthusiastic for spiritual life. Therefore, it's recommended in the holy scriptures that we do sometimes some tapasya, some austerity, where we voluntarily don't eat, where we voluntarily do some austerity, because then we will feel again, we will develop this natural feeling for the need of Krishna consciousness. This is about enthusiasm, but I see you don't really became enthusiastic. Was it too philosophical, or what was wrong today? Now I'm losing my enthusiasm because it's, you know, this was the lecture I prepared on enthusiasm, and no one is enthusiastic. Krishna. Have to work it over again. Do you have any questions? The other questions? Book.
I heard many times that Srila Prabhupada was here on this planet. Many of his disciples other people, they were not aware of his presence and who Srila Prabhupada really was and like this and that. But only when he left the planet, then his disciples became eager and to worship Prabhupada and to hear more lectures and so on. And also, I think we have this, all have this experience when our spiritual master comes, and then some, there is this feeling of indifference.
Mm-hmm.
Indifference. And we are not fully aware that our spiritual master is here. But only when he leaves, then we started to think, oh, why didn't I do something?
Mm-hmm.
There is kind of a feeling, or there is another feeling that when he is here, then some kind of like, I'm not qualified enough to do something for him, maybe others and so on. There is some kind of obstacle, some kind of wall, I don't know. And the question is actually how to become more aware. It seems like we hanker more than
utilize it in a proper way. We don't use the association of our spiritual master in the proper way, and other things also. I feel this has very much to do with our programming from the karmic life. We Westerners are always so rajasic, so in the in the mode of passion, that our whole life seems to be in the process of attaining something. Like you work something, you work so hard for something, and then when you have it, you can't utilize it. Srila Prabhupada was speaking about this one morning in a morning walk in a very humorous way. Look, they have worked so hard to make this park, but now they have no time to enjoy it. I know this mentality also. You work so hard to get something. When it's there, then you go to the next. There's also in devotion, sometimes devotees think, I must marry, and they work so hard. They just, get so much into it. And then when they have it, so what? Let's look for the next thing which gives me some feeling of meaning or sense and so on. Do you know this? When we were children, how we wanted to have one particular thing, and we went every day to our father and said, Father, I can't live without the thing. I have to commit suicide if you don't give it to me. No, son, stop, start breathing again, you get it, you remember this, as little children, I always been like, still now I can keep the air for in an inhuman long way, I can go for 3 minutes if I want, without air. Because as a child I learned this. To just push the parents to the... And then when you have it, oh, it's so boring. You go to the next. This is a curse upon us Westerners. How much we work to finally get into Krishna consciousness. We gave up our this and our that and our priyatas and our career and our everything. And then when we have it, we think, oh, what to do with my life? It's a curse. It's just this conditioning of the karma mentality. با What you should try, Bhakta Bhuk, is to practice something. It's called thought experiment. You should try to train a moment-by-moment awareness. The way I can do it personally when I'm in it is I just know I'm only for a short time here and I have this time. I can use it or I can waste it. In other words, I'm taking the same conditioning in the service of Krishna. That is, that I must do something to get something. This mentality I'd put into Krishna consciousness. I must now think of Krishna. I must be Krishna conscious to get to where I am. This is how you can use the things which are negative to reach a spiritual goal. Sometimes one can overdo it. Then, for instance, then one is there and one does too much just, and then one cracks down. This is not very good either. One has to balance it. And the other thing is I'm not qualified. You will be glad to hear you don't need to be qualified. To perform devotional service, you just need to want to know to do it. This desire will teach you everything. This is from the mode of ignorance, this feeling that, no hope, I'm unqualified to reach it. Krishna doesn't look for this qualification. He looks for the sincere desire to do something. I remember we did so many mistakes in relationship to Srila Prabhupada. And he sometimes became very angry on his disciples because of that. But he said to us, I'm sorry for becoming like this, but my duty is to correct you, my thankless task. Very sorry, I have to do it, to do my duty. He said like this. Krishna. In the end, Prabhupada's manifest Leela, there's a wife of Paramananda, Satyabhama, and she made something like a shawl from the sheep's wool of Gita Nagari and gave that to Prabhupada, sent it in the mail. Prabhupada saw the shawl which his disciple had made, not a very good shawl, not very special. He cried in thankfulness, because he saw the affection behind it. Then he said, he did not have any use for the shawl. But he said, no, it can be put over the feet. At that time he was not walking any longer. He spent the time only in the bed. So it can be put over the feet, warming the feet. Prabhupada, sometimes went around with impossible clothes, a cowboy shirt, for instance. Someone made him a cowboy shirt, with a pocket here and here, a collar, a krag. It really looked strange. Prabhupada just accepted it. He thought there was some lubav behind it, some affection. One time, one devotee was painting a picture, a about Krishna feeling separation from Srimati Radharani, think it must have been that. But of course the devotee was thinking in mundane concepts. Krishna doesn't look like this. And then Prabhupada saw this. What is this? And the devotee explained to him, oh, he said, you don't understand at all. It's not like this. And he said, but this picture can be used, it shows Krishna having a headache. It can be used for that. So he still accepted it. You know, put it in the right. It can be used for this. Good. Sanatan.
I heard about this, how the very devoted day for the Krishna Prabhupada, he had some suffering of body, which said that you had a sensitive pain, but they couldn't believe it. Because they said that the very devoted, they don't experience such suffering. How they experience pain?
They don't identify with this. But here you can see I'm so unadvanced. I just need to go to the dentist and I'm getting out of my balance. Devotees don't identify with the pain. See, the Western way is we are always swallowing this medicine or that medicine, trying to get it done. Devotees. Prabhupada had a swollen tooth for a long time and he never did anything against it. He continued to preach. And one day he presented to a servant, the tooth is out. There was the tooth. It just fell out. Prabhupada just, acha. They don't relate, they know it's the pain of the body, the pain of the mind, but I have nothing to do. Sometimes for service, devotees will take medicine so that they can continue with their service. I think this is realistic for us. Take some pills, some homeopathic pills if possible.
If you want to make someone enthusiastic, that also help us to become enthusiastic, then we can artificially make it enthusiastic.
Usually there's a rule in human communication. What's in the heart goes to the heart. When you are enthusiastic in the heart, you must be enthusiastic in the heart to make someone enthusiastic. And then that person needs to only see you. It goes into the heart. Isn't it? Don't we have this experience sometimes of an enthusiastic devotee? And then it goes into this heart immediately. What's in the heart goes into the heart. We want to falsely make. Doesn't work. All right. So I thank you very much for listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Guru.